Mr. Ford, we here at Hot Tea Minutes find ourselves at a very auspicious position. You were about to address this country at a time that we have not known since the days of Ronald Reagan. So please, if you have anything to say, please say it to this country now.
Iran-Contra was okay.
Well... Am I doing or are you doing?
I don't know.
I thought I did last time. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, those in between and beyond, to the next new Nueve, other things that mean fresh, spanking new off the lot episode of It's a Podcast.
As always, I'm Tyler Ford.
I'm Malik Frierson.
Hey, oh, you God, got it people, right this time.
Oh God, you people know my last name. That's terrible.
You guys are in luck. You know what? You're gonna join us for an entire hour of Dancing the Night Away.
We're for an hour? Fuck.
Dance the night away.
are we gonna get sued because of that?
Legal limit.
Jesus.
Sorry. Also, I got Van Halen on the brain.
So we're going to start off with a question of mine. In the Flintstones universe, what do you think they use as tampons?
Rocks.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I, like, texted
everything
Eggie.
Was rock-based in the Flintstones.
No, but, like
can you blame me?
No, but, like, weren't, like, some of, like, the things, like, aminals and, like, dinosaurs?
Yeah, maybe it was, like, tied up animal first.
Oh, no. I was thinking, like, how do they test for STD? Because now I'm just thinking about, like, what's all these things that they have in the Flintstones? Because, you know, because, like, they had, like, wasn't, like, the sink, like, an elephant's trunk or something, right? Like, it was dinosaur. I'm not making that there were dinosaurs that were, like, home appliances, right?
Yeah.
So, like... Do you think, like, for, like, an STD tester, they, like, had, like, this little dinosaur, like, sniff your crotch and go, oh, fuck!
Like, ew. A possibility.
Like, yeah, no, I just started thinking about, like, well, like, what were all these things that were used, like, what was the technology, like, for the Flintstones for certain things, you know? I just got curious.
I mean, yeah, I mean, it would have to be a dinosaur or something. Like, they used animals as their home appliances and everything. Like, you know, their cars were rocks, but, like, you know, the dinosaurs were, like, everything that Fred used in the quarry, you know, break up rocks and shit.
I almost said Fred. Like, why? I forgot that, like, it's Fred Flintstone. I almost, like, fucking thought it was, like, whoa, from Scooby-Doo? Like, whoa, he time traveled? Nah, I'm kidding. God, that made me think of the episode of Billy and Mandy.
Fred, you got AIDS.
Jesus.
That was my Barney Rubble impression.
That made me think of the episode where, why haven't we done a Flintstones costume yet? We got to do one of those this year. Because, like, we are Fred and Barney, aren't we? That's very, like, it's very me and you coded, isn't he?
Abba-dabba-doo. I was thinking of the wives and play bowling or some shit.
I was thinking of the episode of Billy and Mandy when Fred Flintstone, like, gets frozen and is like, it's a crossover. So, like,
yeah, that's all he says is yabba dabba.
Yeah, yabba dabba. Because they don't understand him. And, like, Billy takes him to school and he fucking goes on, like, a rampage and kidnaps the teacher. And I think one of the funniest jokes is when, like, he's in the car. First off, he sticks his, like, feet out of the car, doesn't he? To, like, run it. I'm like, wait, he drives a car. In that.
He just barrels his feet through a metal car.
And fucking run, like, starts fucking dicking it with the teacher. And one of my favorite jokes in that is when, like, the teacher is, like, in the past week going, oh, don't think you're gonna, I expect the job. I want two kids. And no, I don't want to hear that you're a caveman, like, something. I'm not happy. He's just like, I think he, like, jumps out of the car. No, he, like, crashes to, like, an ice cream truck or something.
Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah, it's fucking incredible. What a time, man. What a time.
I'm trying to think. Wasn't there, like, a cartoon or something where somebody was driving with somebody and they just, like, barrel roll out of the fucking car and the person's still in the car? What was that?
That does not narrow down. Wait, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I think it was like regular show or something.
I think so too.
Because like I can imagine it, and I imagine like the animation. I feel like you would do that to me because like I don't drive, and I'm always like I'm your passenger prince. So like I feel like I'm just waiting for the day that like I just like look over and you're just like not there. And I'm like, oh, and the door's just open. And I'm like, oh man, yeah. I'm sorry.
You crash into a wall, and I just come up, fucking got you.
What was that? No, who was it? That's an Always Sunny bit, isn't it? Yeah. Like they crash.
They were trying to fake their deaths. So the fucking Charlie gets out of the car and says he's not doing it. So Mac calls him a pussy and then just drives. And he was supposed to roll out, and he just crashed into the fucking wall.
That's what happened. I feel like that's what's gonna look like. We're just fucking like, bam. Speaking of which, oh my god, with the Fantastic Four casting. Pedro Pascal as Mr. Fantastic, Vanessa Kirby as Sue Storm.
Who?
I'm sorry.
Who?
Vanessa Kirby. She, I believe, she played a big role in The Crown, but I know she's a really good actress. I'm loving 1960s feels. This made me go back and watch Matt Shockman's episodes of Always Sun, or like some Matt Shockman episodes. I hope I'm saying his last name right, because like he directed
Shackman.
Shockman. I think I heard Shockman, right. But like, yeah, no, like, because like knowing like he directed a lot of Always Sunny episodes, I decided to go and watch some of his episodes, and I didn't realize that he directed I believe it, I saw his name on this, but when Charlie Rules the World.
Oh, is that the episode where with the game that they play?
Yeah, we're on the game. That's when Dennis blows himself. I'm not thinking, what's like my favorite Always Sunny like cold open with the intro? I think the best is still gonna be, this is bullshit. I'm not gonna let State kill him. I'm gonna save my dad.
It's between that or like the one where they're just like, what's the worst that could possibly happen? And the title card is Frank set Sweet D on fire.
I also really like Sweet D beat the system, and it says Sweet D gets audited. So good. Oh my god, I'm trying to think, what else has been new with you right now?
Oh man, a lot. So we've been going for a little bit, everybody. We should probably
update on that. I got that. Just to update on that, I got super sick when
he
we were
did.
Supposed
he
to record.
He got the flu for like a good
I
week.
I literally could not walk. I had to call out of work 3 days in a row. I was literally dying. Like, it was bad.
Yeah, it was like, it was a whole thing, because like I was live streaming the night we were supposed to record, and then I called up Malik, and Malik's like, dude, I feel like fucking shit. And I was like, yeah, all right, man. Well, I just got done live streaming. It's like 11:30 at night. I'm tired. Like, it's
and
fine.
And then the week after that, Tyler got a little sickness we call fucking democracy.
Yeah. I've been playing a lot of Helldivers, everybody.
I want to play it so bad.
Dude,
play
the plight
so
of democracy
bad,
is fucking real, man. It is insane.
I'm not gonna lie, that speech that guy gave about like, why do we not go to the reinforcements? They fought back the Covenant. They beat the Flood. They fought the Locust Horde. Why do we not? Why must we watch our Helldivers' bodies pile up on the shore? I'm like, man, I'm feeling this, man. I want in the fight, bro.
The thing is that like with Helldivers, it's the community, man. The community around this game is just like hands down probably the best thing I've ever seen in gaming. Like, we're all super into it, you know. It's like World War II hit a video game, you know, like in the sense of all the propaganda and like, you know, everybody's charging in like bold face, like
this
blind
horrible
confidence.
Traumatic experience of the world, like it's like if that was a video game.
Like, we're all like charging in with this blind confidence in pursuit of liberty and democracy that is just like, it's insane. And the game really is a lot like Starship Troopers. You ever see that movie?
I've never seen Starship Troopers, no.
That movie was like, you know, everybody was all pumped up and get ready to fight the bug menace, and then they land on the planet and like half the army gets fucking wiped out. Like,
oh my god.
That's literally what it's like. Me and Tim, we were so hyped to fucking play the night we bought it last week, and we you know, we hopped down into our first mission. We're doing the whole like meme thing with the Kevin James, I got three things to say: God bless America, God bless our troops, our gentlemen, start your engines. You know, we're doing all that. The minute we get on the fucking planet, we get decimated by these fucking bugs. Like, they wipe the floor with us. Like, oh my god. Just death after death.
I'm trying to think of like a game that like had this like level of effect like on a culture before. I think it's such an unprecedented time that we had like two games like this back to back that have really just like shooken game culture like in a way, between like Baldur's Gate 3 that really just like that had like studios going like, we can't be this good, and like completely upended the and like shook the whole gaming industry. And now this, like having like back to back like culture shakers is crazy.
Dude, it is. It is absolutely crazy. Like, I'm so in on the whole, like, the Helldivers thing. I'm in on the Discord, you know, we're constantly getting orders from high command to go to different planets and shit. Like, it's so great. There's an entire TikTok page dedicated to giving Super Earth updates, you know? So it tells us, can like, you, everything you actually need to know, like, about the Warfront.
Can you visit Super Earth? Can you go to Super Earth? Or is it
not
just, like, the battlefront?
Right now. You can't go to Super Earth, but here's the thing. Super Earth has a bar that'll tell you that it's 100% liberated, which means that it can fall at any fucking point in this game.
God, and like, no one knows what's going to happen if it falls, right?
No.
Oh, man.
I just asked him the other day. I texted him. I was like, what do you think happens if they take over Super Earth? Does the game end there? I don't know. Because the thing is that they have the first Helldivers, which is a lot like Helldivers 2. But for some reason, just everybody's getting into this one. But like, dude, the shit that goes on, like when you go to sleep. I went to sleep the other night and we lost 15% of Malevolon Creek. Like,
oh my
just
God.
Overnight. And we were like, how did this happen?
Okay. This is like another planet, right? Like, you're fighting other planets and then Super Earth is like, they're trying to stop me. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. So like, the thing is that the Warfront is, it's like actual warfare. Like, the Terminids will just like mount an attack overnight out of nowhere, or like the, you know, the bots, the automatons. Malevolon Creek is basically like the Vietnam of space right now.
As I like to
quote the Super Earth update that I saw yesterday, the trees are speaking binary.
That's like one of my favorite. I love those memes. One of my favorite memes is like Gordon Ramsay reaching down scared, and it's like when you're in Vietnam and you try to take a piss, but then the bush starts speaking Vietnamese and it grabs your dick and you're like, ah!
Dude, like, honestly, like,
I just thought of the TED show bit.
Wait, which one?
I jacked off a dog. Because that scene's so good because they play it so earnestly as well, where it's like, you soldiers gave so much. I think you made the right choice. Like, at ease, soldier. At ease. I can't wait till you come to me with like that kind of story from Helldivers where you're like, I can't tell you what I did, Malik.
But the thing is that I've already had that, well, like, not that type of moment, like, not jerking off a dog
caught
or anything.
Caught
like
yourself
that.
Real quick.
But fucking, me and Adam, we had a little bout last night yesterday in our group chat, because obviously word came down from high command to abandon the creek and move on to Vandalon and Mantis, because that's where the bots were attacking. And Adam was relaying the message to us because we weren't in the Discord yet. And I was like, I ain't leaving the creek. And Adam's like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, I'm not leaving the creek, okay? And he's like, you're a part of the problem then. And I'm like, no, I had brothers die on the creek. I'm not leaving it, you know? And he's like, if you leave the creek, that gives us opportunities to take on other planets. We can always come back and hit them. And I was like, I swore to live by the creek and die by the creek, and I will die in the creek if I have to. And I was like, I will provide cover while everybody else escapes, but I am not leaving the creek.
Oh my God, Tyler.
It was a whole thing. The role play behind this game is amazing.
That's insane, man. Are you I want to play it so bad. I really hope that they like relent and give it to Xbox.
Seriously, man, if this is the one game that could unite the consoles with each other, like, this would be amazing. But like, I really do want it to come to Xbox, because like, genuinely, I'm telling everybody I know that has a PlayStation to fucking enlist and play in this game.
Enlist in the war. seeing two, like, girlfriends saying, like, okay, baby, okay, guys, like, here's how we, like, here's the language we need to use to, like, it, like, help our, like, soldiers.
Yeah.
And, like, making, like, a, like, wives of, like, soul of Helldivers support groups and seeing, like, girlfriends get on it and stuff like that and partners. And, like, here's the type of language. Here's what you have to ask them, how goes the Battle of the Creek. Here's the type of language you use. Here's how you get on the lore. Here's how you, like, encourage them and stuff like that. I'm like, bro, this is so cool to see. It's really awesome.
I'm so happy to be a part of it.
It's such a wholesome, non-toxic fandom as well.
I canceled my PlayStation Plus because they charged me like $85 for the entire year. And I was like, why the fuck did the price go up? I'm like, I'm not spending $85 for something I don't even use. 2 weeks later, Helldivers drops, and I'm like, well, I'm back in on Plus.
It's like, son of a bitch, you got me in.
I'm in.
Oh, my God. But yeah, I wish. What have I've been playing Helldivers, but I did beat Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League recently.
Yeah,
fucking
me and Tim have been
that.
Trying to progress through that. We just beat Green Lantern.
Are you guys
game.
On Xbox? Oh, isn't that boss fight so fucking fun?
It's hard.
Really? So the hardest one for me that I probably died the most was probably Batman. I think I died the most on Batman. And was like legit like a really cool fight. Green Lantern was so fun for me. Maybe because I upgraded the shit out of my Deadshot too because he was my main. But like, dude, jetpacking around the factory while he's making all the content. There was a bit that was so cool where like I was like jetpack running up like the chimney as like he was raining down like hellfire on my Deadshot, and I dodged every bullet and sniped his fucking thing. It was so fucking cool.
It's crazy because, like, you know, Green Lantern, we died a couple times, like maybe twice, I think, until we finally beat him. But like, I mean, one of them was by accident because I thought if we paused the game, it would stop, and it didn't. It kept going. So Green Lantern was just taking shots at us while I was paused because I had to go get a bottle of water. So that ended that round. But,
Were you guys playing on Xbox or
yeah?
Let me know when you guys play because like I'm done. I'll join you guys and help out with some boss fights because I love the Batman fight and I do really the Superman fight is literally it's crazy, dude. The Superman fight had me like, oh fuck, dude, I'm fighting Superman, and like it's probably around the same like type of thing as like the Flash thing where like you have to be careful if you don't like keep him on off balance. But like, my God, I like turned my head for a second and looked back and Superman has an entire fucking tank and just yeets it at me.
Just barely making it through these boss fights. Like Tim died to the point where he couldn't be revived when we fought the Flash. I had to deal the final blow on Flash. And then Green Lantern, we just barely scathed through. Like, it's been tough. Like, I think, I know the point of the game is that you're supposed to upgrade your ship, but we just go right into these boss fights the minute
I grinded and upgraded and crafted and, like, looked at what I had and fucked around with shit.
I wonder why it's been easy for you then.
It hasn't been easy, but, like, you know, I'm able to pull up a better fight. I think Batman is probably, like, the most unique because they do, like, really cool, like, callbacks to, like, the Arkham Arkham Knight ending and stuff like that.
Yeah. I did,
the
Arkham experience was really cool. It was really...
It was
so interesting to just be like, you know, in the middle of it, we're like, me and Tim are like fucking shit in our goddamn pants, and we're just like, is this what we've been putting the bad guys through?
That was me. I'm like, dude, I want to apologize to every criminal in Gotham. No one deserves that shit, bro.
I know.
Shit was legitimately terrifying. I remember for me, it was like when when I walked past the vent, look, and saw it was closed, and I looked back and the vent was open. I'm like, oh, fuck this.
See, it was so funny doing this, that co-op, because the last person that I think is supposed to be standing is Harley, right?
Yeah, Harley, because she's in the cutscene.
So Harley is the last person that's supposed to be standing. That's who Tim has been playing as. I've been playing as King Shark, so King Shark's the first one to fucking go. And then it makes you play Deadshot. Or no, it makes you play Boomerang. And then Boomerang goes, and I'm like, oh, I'm dead again. And then we fucking Deadshot, and then he goes, and it's like, oh, I'm out. Like,
yeah, no, that entire sequence was crazy. Like, when he fucking... It's so insane, because it starts off with the dude, like, crawling out with the Batarang in his fucking neck, and then Batman drops, and I'm like, oh...
Oh, this Batman kills.
Yeah, he killing. Oh, no. I also love that in that scene before, Boomerang, like, cuts off Flash's finger by accident. He's like, it's all right, my bad. Oh my God. The subplot of, like, Harley trying to riz up Wonder Woman is so good. Oh, wait, so, like, you saw Superman then?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, like, did you see, like, where, like, what happened? You guys went to go pick up Waller? What's happening now?
So, yeah, we just did the mission where we picked up Waller and got her back to the Hall of Justice. That was the last
spoilers. Spoilers, so you know what happens, like, with the Superman-Wonder Woman fight.
Yeah, with Superman,
spoilers, super spoilers, guys, super spoilers, Suicide Squad killed the Justice League. There we go. That's a mouthful. Continue.
Yeah, when Wonder Woman pulls out the kryptonite shield and, you know, like, she starts getting her ass kicked at first, and then she starts fighting back a little bit, but, like, what else happened? I'm trying to remember.
When she, like, takes the kryptonite chunk and, like, stabs him in the chest?
Oh, shit, I didn't see that.
Okay, never mind. I thought you got Waller back to the Hall of Justice, because stuff happens.
You know what? We got the van. That's what happened. We cut it, like, halfway through. We have to escort her.
Okay, never mind. I will shut my face.
But it was really crazy, like, when they launched the nuke into, like, it got, like, super close, and then all of a sudden it stops, and I was like, oh, no.
Yeah, that's our buddy David. That's one of his favorite lines of the game. It's like, yeah, guy's Superman. Ah, fuck, it's Superman. That's David's favorite line. Also, King Shark using the Green Lantern ring. Is it lore accurate?
It was so cool.
No.
It was so cool.
Yes, wasn't it? I don't give a shit if it was lore accurate. That was so dope. Because, you know, like, he has says the fucking line, like, in Brightest Day and Blackest Night, King Shark's might. I'm like, dude, this is sick. This is really fucking cool.
And then he constructs a fucking gigantic shark. Like, it was so cool.
Eat the shield. I'm like, a bunch of people complain, like, this isn't lore accurate. I'm like, I don't give a
fuck. Who cares?
Dude. Yeah, it's cool. Like, oh, man.
King Shark is a Green Lantern. I'm all about it.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun. I look forward to all, like, the content I'm forward, because the next character dropping is the Joker from another dimension, and he's going to be
that.
Like a playable character.
I'm not a fan
character.
Of the design of Joker. He looks like a tweak.
Well, he'll have skins that we can, like, customize him with. I love Deadshot's Batman skin of him in, like, the Batman armor. That thing looks sick.
I don't think
also,
I've seen that one.
It's I got it with the deluxe. It's really cool. Also, I also got Harley in that Wonder Woman armor that Wonder Woman wears, like, her outfit.
Nice.
Dude, that Wonder Woman design is literally
perfect.
The part where
me and Tim were playing for the first time, you know, there's the part where Wonder Woman shows up and then Harley's just like, stomp on me. I was like, yo, Harley's just saying what we're all thinking.
Dude, she tries to rose up Wonder Woman throughout the entire game. Like, when Wonder Woman's making the shield and she stops, squats, goes, don't embarrass me in front of her. And it's like, hi. It's so good.
It is awesome.
I love all the Superman character designs. They're so good. Like, all the, like, Lois Lane looked really cool.
Lane looked hot as shit in that game. I'm gonna be real.
She is a pretty woman. She's a very pretty woman. I did like Boomerang tries to rose. Boomerang was like walking through. He's like, huh, Lois Lane reports a lot on wars. I fought a bunch of wars. She might want a one-on-one interview, mate. Boomerang does have some of, like, the best lines. I think one of my favorite lines from Boomerang is after you kill the Flash, and he goes, to my massive and disappointingly male fan base. It's so good.
I love how he was just confused about it. He's like, who's Barry?
Who's Barry? But the scene, too, where they live stream to call up the Flash is so good. Like, he's the fastest man alive, according to all his girlfriends.
Yeah.
Like, that's so good. Oh, I love the game so much. I look forward to seeing what they're going to add. I know we're going to get, like, new environments and locations. I don't want to spoil what they do for the end game, but, like, I think it's a very DC universe thing for why we're going to get a lot of stuff after. I dig it.
Yeah, I'm pretty impressed with how good this game was. My hype going into it, like, I didn't watch much about it, so, like, my hype going into it was like, yeah, I'm pretty stoked for Suicide Squad Kills the Justice League, should be a fun game, you know. And then I tried it out, and I was like, or, like, the day came to, like, when Tim asked me if I wanted to go halves on it, and I was like, I'm not sure, man, like, what if I end up not liking this and I just drop, like, you know, because we went halves, so it was like It's like, what if I just drop 35 on fucking this game and I just, you know, don't like it, you know?
Yeah, I get that.
And then it was like, you know, we played it and I was like, you know, the first night I was like, this game's fucking great. It's like, yeah, I'm loving this. Dude.
The only, like, I'm looking back, the only thing I wish that got a little annoying to me was, like, as someone who grinds a lot, you probably didn't get this because you aren't grinding like I do, but, like, I did notice that, like, a lot of the missions do have the same structure, which didn't bother me too much because I enjoy the combat a lot, but, like, also, like, I kind of, like, just expected that kind of game. But the only thing I found super annoying was that the missions that have, like, the like, stipulation, like, enemies only die to grenades, enemies only die to headshots. Yep. I hated those with a passion.
Yeah, those cannot stand those missions. That was, like, part of the reason why me and Tim didn't grind before the boss fights was because I kept having the one where it's like critical hits only, and it's like, how the fuck do you expect me to get critical hits on every single enemy?
See, I see, but like I would pick my characters. That's why I played Call. I picked my character specifically though. If I was saw critical hits, immediately swap the Deadshot because my aim is nasty with Deadshot. Yeah. I may legitimately be Deadshot in real life. I'm just only gonna say I'm legitimate. I'm nasty with Floyd Lawton in that game, dude. He has my favorite traversal. The jetpack is so fun. Like
my favorite traversal
around.
Is King Sharks, and it's actually really funny because I blow everybody out of the water. I'm always hitting points before everybody else, and like Tim will take a couple minutes to get there.
He's my third favorite. Traversal.
Who's your second?
My second favorite is Boomerangs. I love Boomerang Speed Force. It's so fun. I love zipping around the Speed Force. I love throwing the boomerang and zipping to where it is. I do not like Harleys. Harleys is, maybe I'm just not good at it, but like Harleys is very weird because I don't
it's slow.
It's, yes, that as well. And I don't like the recharge meter for the drone. Like it's very, maybe I have to upgrade properly, but it's very annoying where I'm like, okay, yeah, no, I do not feel like this.
Yeah, no, like every time me and Tim play, he's always saying, dude, your traversal is like the best in the game. And I'm
it's Deadshot. So I should be upgraded, right? So his jetpack fucking last longer. It's all about Deadshot, dude.
I'm just saying from a standpoint of me and Tim, cause I'm only playing King Shark and he's only playing Harley. He's like, yours is definitely like the best in the game. And I was like, dude, I fly through the fucking map. And he's like, yeah, Harley's takes forever.
Yeah, dude. I do like Harley's gives her the vantage point. Like I like the drone. I can like latch onto it and then shoot while she hangs from the drone. Yeah. I think that's really cool. Like that a lot. But King Sharks, I just haven't gotten the hang of it properly yet, but like, I just prefer boomerangs. I like running up the buildings. I like the speed force dashes.
Oh yeah. King Shark runs up buildings too. He climbs up buildings really, but
for me though, it's all about Deadshot. Deadshot is my fucking main. Also, the weird animosity between like Floyd and Green Lantern, and the way
where is this coming from?
It's bordering like kind of racially motivated because he keeps calling Floyd a convict and adding a lot of emphasis on that. See, like, what are you doing, convict? And then like, if you read the bios for Justice League, they're each written by their respective squad member. So Harley writes Batman's, Boomerang writes Flash's, and King Shark writes Superman's. Deadshot writes Green Lanterns, and it says he gives off one of the good ones vibes. Like, bro, wait a minute. What's going on here?
Which one does King Shark write for?
He writes Superman's bio.
Okay.
Yeah, because Harley writes Batman, and Boomerang, of course, writes Flash.
I feel like the game's creators were just like, well, look, we know that Deadshot is a Batman villain, you know, but like, maybe like since Harley's, you know, Batman's villain, we should probably give Deadshot something. And everybody's just like, what about Green Lantern? And they're just like, sure.
I feel like Deadshot's one of those villains that's kind of like shared.
That's
maybe
fair.
He's more of a Batman. I feel like he just shows up kind of everywhere, you know.
I just figured he was a Batman villain.
I think maybe he is. I'm not sure. Maybe he probably has been more like Batman shit. I feel like he like shows up and just like a lot. I feel like he's like Deathstroke, where he's like he's like Taskmaster. I feel like where like he's not someone. He's just a villain in that universe that kind of just like goes around everywhere.
That's fair.
Yeah.
But when you compare him up to people like Harley and Captain Boomerang, who both have, like, you know, their main superhero that they're the bad guy for, you know, it's kind of like, okay, well, what do we do?
I also do really like Captain Boomerang's, because I have the Justice Loser skins, what they're called. Harley gets the Wonder Woman outfit, King Shark gets Superman, Deadshot gets Batman. I like Boomerang gets the Flash outfit, because he, like, wears his, like, coat over it as well, and has his Boomerang gear, and he, like, customizes it, and it looks really cool. I do not like that Flash suit, though. I do not think the Flash should wear armor. Flash should be in spandex.
That's fair.
Yeah, I do not like whenever they put a Flash in the armor. But yeah, other than that, it's such a solid and very fun game, man.
It is a good game. Honestly, if Helldivers wasn't taking up most of my fucking time right now, it's weird because, like, me and Tim went, like, a full, like, year to almost 2 years of, like, nothing that we felt like fucking playing, and now all of a sudden we're getting options and we just don't know how to handle it. Like, it's Helldivers, it's Suicide Squad, you know, we're replaying Halo again, like going through a Halo run through, and then Halo Infinite's multiplayer got a lot better too, so like that's four different games that we're playing
that means I'm gonna have to install Halo Infinite. Damn,
dude,
it.
They added Infection and Firefight to Halo Infinite.
Why would you guys say that? I'm gonna have to download that, because David's been playing a lot of Halo Infinite too, and I'm gonna be fucking up playing Halo Infinite with Dave probably.
I'm not gonna lie, the Infection in that game is very fun. It's just as good as the, you know, the other ones, because it's Infection, you know, it's just a fun game mode. But like it I will say, some of this new stuff that they have for Infection in this game, because of all the, like, you know, the suit things that you can do, basically, like, anybody that's not infected, instead of having, like, the grapple, you have the sensor so that you can detect if anybody's in the area, like any of the infected, and then the infected can go invisible. So it's like, it's pretty interesting.
David's playthrough of Halo Infinite has, like, really reminded me of the moments I really love, and oh my god, moments that go so hard that I'll never forget. When Jigar Radomni's intro, when you fight him for the boss fight, oh my god. God, that's so cool. When you find the recorded message, and it's like, say goodbye, daddy, and you just hear, like, he will be broken, say goodbye, and you see the energy blade, like, cuts the floor, but he's invisible. I'm like, bruh, this goes so hard. And I forgot how much I actually really liked Ashram as a villain.
Ashram is a really good villain.
Set a fire in your heart,
it's funny because Ashram trained Atriox, right? Like, that was like his mentor, you know, but he was just like, but Atriox was still the leader, you know. My mentor is like my second in command. That's just weird to say. I mean, it's been done multiple times before on different stories and platforms and shit, but like, it's just funny.
I'm also in, when are we going to get Gears news, man? I'm ready for Gear 6, man.
Dude, same, man. Gear, I'm like, man. Fucking Coalition's working on some other game right now. And damn, I think all their focus has been on that.
I'm ready, man. Like, I'm ready to run up the Lancer, because I've been thinking about doing a Gears marathon soon of these days to go through it all again.
Yeah, I think me and Tim just played not too long ago Gears
marathon. I've never beaten Judgment. I started Judgment, and I was like,
it is a problem to get through.
I started Judgment and I was like, this breaks my heart though, because Baron is literally my favorite character. Like,
don't get me wrong, the story is fine. There's nothing wrong with the story. It's the gameplay.
I'll give Judgment another chance.
The gameplay is Horde, like many different levels of Horde mode. And the thing is that it's like it's not hard. It's annoying. Like, because they'll send, like, you get prepared for, like, this Horde wave in the mission, and it'll be like, all right, we'll send you fucking, like, 20 Locust soldiers, two of the, what are they called? I'm blanking on names right now.
The Lambent?
No, we'll send you, Lambent wasn't around yet. So,
right.
It was like, you know, we'll send you, like, 20 Locust, like, just regulars. We'll send you, like four snipers, like three reavers at a time, and like meanwhile you got some fucking cleavers coming at you. It's just an annoying amount of big Locust soldiers you're fighting through, and like I said, it's not hard, it's just really annoying. This is supposed to be your idea of what hard is, and it's not.
Yeah. One day, man. I'm like, what is my favorite Gears of War? Am I? It may
Gears
be
two,
Gears.
Baby.
It for me, it may be Gears of War 3. I think Gears of War 3 might be
3
my favorite.
3 is fucking dope, but 2 is my favorite because that was the first one I played.
Someone knows this. Gears of War 4 is very similar to The Force Awakens in so many ways. And like, it just has very similar vibes. And they came out around the same time, too. Look at that. Gears 5 is also very Last Jedi-ish as well, when you look at it as well.
My thing is that, like, when I look at the new Gears, 4 is a lot like 1, just, like, modernized. And then Gears 5... I got a lot of Gears 2 vibes from it, and it's probably the fact that they threw a bunch of Gears 2 Easter eggs my way.
Oh,
but
God,
like,
yeah. I love when you go to the place that Niall was in.
Yeah.
And you find the exploded door. Like, Marcus, the door exploded. Oh, yeah, I did that.
Like, they threw so much Gears 2 Easter eggs my way that it made it feel like this was, like, the modern-day Gears 2, and I enjoyed it, you know?
Yeah.
It's a shame because, like, the mindset of people that play these games now is like it solely gets ruined by multiplayer. The same thing happened with Halo Infinite. The multiplayer started off really bad, and then everybody started thinking about it was like, man, the multiplayer for this game sucks. You know what? That story wasn't that good either. And it's just like, oh, you only think that because the multiplayer is bad.
Because
now everybody's playing fucking Halo Infinite again. I mean, everybody's playing Helldivers, but, you know, a lot of people are still playing Halo Infinite.
I'm like looking through my fucking thing now. I was like, what do I want to uninstall real quick so I can play Halo Infinite?
You know what's actually really good? Still to this day, I think is hands down the best Halo game that we've gotten since Reach is Halo Wars 2. That game was story
were,
is so good.
You were a big Halo Wars 2 guy. I remember that too.
Halo Wars 2 story, just like with Atriox and all that, and it was. I mean, John DiMaggio plays Atriox in that game. Like, come on, but like. The Atriox story in that game and how they built him up in that game was just so fucking good. And then just like to take a really good story like Halo Wars 2, and then they added these add-ons where like all of a sudden the Flood are taking on the Banished, and like, you know, you have to play as these two like captains that are brothers in the Banished, and you take charge of their army. And it's like, it was such a good idea.
Like, I think one of my I still think about that moment when Atriox like beats the shit out of those like three Spartan soldiers. He goes, "As I suspected, just a man," and he crushes the helmet.
That's from Halo Wars 2.
Yeah.
He just beats up fucking three Spartans. That was Jerome. Who were the other two? I only remember Jerome all the time. Well, I think one of them began with a D, and I can't remember what it is. But what you call it? Oh, I forgot what I was going to say. speaking of other things, actually, while we were gone between episodes, I had some crazy shit happen with my TikTok not too long ago. Just the past couple weeks, my TikTok's been like weirdly getting some attention from a lot of different things. So basically what happened was the week after the podcast came out, or like 2 weeks after, I dropped an idea that I had where I was going to do a poll video on like which characters do people prefer. And it started off with just a simple concept. I didn't even want to make it a thing. Now it's become a weekly thing. But like the first video that I dropped, I just thought about it one day randomly in the work van. I was like, yeah, I was talking to my buddy that I met through TikTok about it, and I was like, you know, I've come to find that a lot of people in the Transformers community is either pro Astro Train or pro Blitzwing, and I was like, that would make for a good video. So I just threw up a poll, and it got like 6,000 views, which is something my videos haven't seen that isn't a CapCut edit in like a long time. So you know, a lot of people were commenting and stitching and stuff like that. I was getting a lot of attention off of that video. Nice. And just so much interaction. And the whole point of the video was to bring out the interaction. But like,
speaking of which, TikTok needs to add a feature where you can click a video and see the stitches, because I'm getting sick of that shit.
Yeah, I know. That would be nice. Instead of, because like sometimes you miss the notifications. It's kind of selfish to say, but I search my own name on TikTok to see if anybody stitched that I missed.
I do the same thing, bro.
Okay, cool.
Well,
it's not just me. because I did miss a couple stitches back years ago, and you know, it took me almost a year to respond to it because I didn't know it was a thing, you know. But yeah, so I made that poll video, and then like shortly after, I decided to do a live stream. It was the when I called you asking if you wanted to do the podcast afterward, and you were sick. I did that live stream, and a voice actor by the name of Daniel Ross joined my live stream. Now, for anybody listening right now, Daniel Ross was the voice of Starscream in the Transformers 07 movie game. So, like, that was pretty cool. He's also the voice of Grimace from McDonald's, and he's also the voice of Lucky from Lucky Charms.
Oh, snap! Yeah. So when are we gonna get Grimace for fucking this podcast, dude?
I don't know if we're tight like that.
keep the purple cartoon characters coming, dude.
But yeah, so he joined my live stream that night, and I was just so shocked by it. I couldn't fucking believe it. I was like, yeah, nice. I made a video about it on my TikTok, but like you can see my face. I'm in like disbelief at first. And then
so cool.
So he joined my live stream. A week after, I did I did another poll on Soundwave and Blaster. That one went very well. And then what you call it? There was the week after that, I did a poll on Springer and Sandstorm, which was, I believe, 2 weeks ago now, because I'm about to drop the new one tomorrow at the time that we're recording this. Last week was RC and Alita 1. Yeah, so 2 weeks ago, I did Springer versus Sandstorm, and a guy comments on my video. Now, I had just woken up in the morning getting ready for work, and I saw that he had commented, and all I saw, like, I was like half asleep, and all I saw was Epic Voiceover Guy, right? Or something like that, or Epic Voice Guy. And I'm like, you know, he said Soundwave is the best. And so, you know, I'm like half asleep. I'm like, oh, yeah, I totally agree. But I was like, you know, I did a video on that on Soundwave last week, you know. Here, I'm getting ready to tally up the polls because I put tallies in the captions for each of these polls. I was getting ready to tally up the Springer and Sandstorm stuff. And I'm looking through the comments and I see this Epic Voiceover Guy or whatever. And his name is John Bailey. And I'm like, why does that name sound fucking familiar? So I go and I look him up. He was the voice of Soundwave and Shockwave in the Bumblebee movie.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Dude.
And I'm like, I comment. I'm like, dude, I'm going to apologize. I was half asleep when I sent that last comment. I can't believe the voice actor for Shockwave and Soundwave from the Bumblebee movie just commented on my video. And he saw my comments and he liked them and stuff, but didn't respond to it. But it's, I mean, as long as you saw it, that's all I cared about.
That makes me so happy, dude. Like, I love seeing like how well your TikTok does. And whenever you like get these really great moments of that, dude, it's so cool to see like how far your stuff has come.
I can't believe this shit is happening, to be honest.
Like, you're so genuinely good at it. You're such a warm, awesome person. You're clearly just passionate about Transformers and shit like that. And it's just like, it's such a cool thing you've done. Like, your channel is so fucking cool. And I love watching it. And it's such, and it's, I love seeing you grow and have these moments like that and shit.
Well, thanks, man. I appreciate that.
All right, stop being gay now. We gotta
but another crazy thing that happened was the day after Daniel Ross joined my live stream, I was talking with my buddy from TikTok on Snapchat, and he goes, no fucking way. And I'm like, what? And he's like, you might want to check Transformers Official's page. So I go and I check it. Here, this was the day after, the day after, so the live stream that I did was the day that I put out the poll for Soundwave and Blaster, right? The day after, Transformers, at the time that I checked it, it was 18 minutes prior, or like they had just posted it like 18 minutes prior. They posted not only a clip of Soundwave and Blaster asking who was everybody's favorite out of the two, but it was the exact scene that people were commenting in on my TikTok poll.
That's so cool. This is how we're next Transformers movie, dude. You're gonna be at the red carpet.
Oh my god, that would be amazing.
Next Transformers movie, you're gonna be there. That bot guy is gonna be at the fucking red carpet premiere.
That would be amazing. I was so conflicted that day. I was like, are they stealing my idea? I ended up shouting them out in the next poll afterwards. I was like, you guys absolutely killed it with all the polls and the or all the votes and the comments and everything like that, I call this one a huge success. So much of a success that Transformers Official actually posted the scene you guys were talking about in the comments, and I was like, I see you, Transformers.
I think I remember you posting that.
Yeah.
But, oh, that's so cool. I'm so happy for you. Yeah, I haven't had, like, any, like, thing crazy like that. It's the one, like, I've had some videos do pretty good, like, recently. I've been posting a lot more, and it's, like, kind of...
Dude, you're one. Oh, my God. Your one got, like, 20,000 views, man.
Wait, which one? Yeah, that one I made of, like, in Altrail. That one really surprised me. I'm like,
I saw that the other day. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, no, and then after that, I had a couple other videos, like, flop bad, but I had, like, one video hit 4,000, and another video... One video that I was surprised that hit, like, 3,000 was I just, like, recorded myself and recorded my thoughts on the Borderlands movie and the new poster that they dropped, and I just,
I saw that video last night,
this is actually doing like a pretty good amount of numbers and stuff like that.
It's amazing what the simple shit can do, like, honestly, in that in that app. Like, I thought the poll idea, you know, that those have been pretty successful for me these past couple weeks, but like, it's just a dumb idea that I thought of, you know. I was like, this is the most simplest video. I put so much effort into my Transformers Tuesdays and don't get nearly as many views.
I think stuff like that is what happened, you know, like stuff just like it just works because people want to see the little thing. They want to enjoy the little thing, you know.
Exactly. Although I will say my Transformers Tuesday last week, the whatever one I did on Age of Extinction Grimlock, that one got over 1,000 views, and I was like, that is surprising. I haven't seen over 1,000 views on a Transformers Tuesday video since I started purposely targeting my audience with hashtags.
Mm.
Because that was a whole thing for a little bit. You know, on TikTok, I would, if you go back to some of my older videos, you'll see that I used to just put a shit ton of fucking hashtags. Just like the most random stuff. And
I still do that sometimes. I keep it on topic though.
Yeah, I tried to do that too, but I would just throw out some. It got to a point where I was just throwing out random words as hashtags because they were popular, you know. And I was realizing that a lot of my views and the reason why I'm not getting followers and like as many likes and stuff like that is because it's just people seeing me on their For You page, but they go right past me. So I was like, I'm gonna start using specifically Transformers hashtags, and that's what I started doing. My views have been low since, but I'm getting a lot more followers and a lot more people that are like, you know, really like commenting and talking with me and stuff like that. It's been great.
See, what I'm noticing too is like I'm making more mutuals and more people are following me who are like big, like tabletop. Like I make a lot of like D&D and like Baldur's Gate a post. Yeah. I'm getting like a lot of like I'm making mutuals and like getting followers and like follow people back who are like content, who have like podcasts and have a good chunk of followers and have a platform, who like are liking or seeing my stuff and liking it, you know, and like want to like interact with me. It's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, I'm making a lot more mutuals now too as well. They're not as big in the Transformers community. Some are. Like I had a weird interaction with this one guy. So I followed him like maybe a year or so ago. Guy's name is Uni Unicron on TikTok, and he was, I've been trying to get him to follow me for a while, and I would like interact with his stuff and he would comment back. He's commented on a couple of my videos and stuff like that. But only recently when I started doing these poll videos that he's been like liking a bunch of the videos and stuff like that. And I'm like sitting there thinking to myself, I'm like, he sees all my stuff. Why hasn't he followed me yet? Like
I will be like that too when I see them like in my views. And I'm like, okay, you didn't like the video though, so I'll remember that.
Yeah.
Like, so like I'll remember that.
The thing is that he was liking my videos and stuff like that. He was commenting on them, and I'm like, why isn't this guy just followed me yet? I had a whole weekend where like every day something new was coming up from him seeing one of my videos, and then finally the last day of the weekend, like that Sunday, it was my birthday actually, I think. Yeah, my birthday. He followed me, and I was like, finally.
Yeah, it's cool, man. We grow and we live in and stuff like that.
Yeah, man.
The Borderlands trailer dropped. I don't know how to feel about that. I was like, what else are we talking about?
I saw that trailer and it's I don't know, man.
It has some of the vibes and tones. Like I can like if it's not like unrecognizable. Like if you didn't tell me it was a Borderlands like fucking movie and you showed me that trailer with a title, I probably would have guessed it's Borderlands. There are still some things I'm noticing where I'm like, why doesn't Lilith have her tattoos? You know, Kevin Hart as Roland was a really weird casting. That being said, I do appreciate that he is trying to like get the role right, because he's not being like that regular
is,
Kevin Hart.
That is really cool to see Kevin Hart play more of a serious character over the comedic,
yeah, and like,
you know.
Yeah, I mean, like, and I'm not too, like, I know Eli Roth. I don't think I've watched any of Eli Roth movies. Hold on, let me see. I gotta look up Eli Roth movies, because I ain't watching The Green Inferno. That's not my thing. Yeah, Eli Roth's a big, like, yeah, he's a big horror guy. Yeah, no, Green Inferno is, he made Knock Knock. I did not know he wrote Knock Knock. Do you know what Knock Knock is?
No.
Okay, he also made Hostel. Yeah, I knew Hostel was him. Okay, so Knock Knock was a movie about, it was a movie where Keanu Reeves is like fucking, did he direct it? Hold on, I'm sorry. But I'm trying to make sure he directed this. But like, it's a movie where Keanu Reeves is like, he lives in a very nice home. He has a family and like, they're all nice. His family goes off on a trip and he stays home alone. These two girls come in and they fucking like, and they like say like, hey, our cab broke down, like we need help. Their cab, and he like, oh okay, like, and it's like raining and shit. He brings them in and they trick him into a threesome.
What?
And then these girls like then spend the entire night psychologically torturing and like fucking with Keanu Reeves because he was a bad guy who cheated on his wife.
Oh my
and,
god!
Like, fucking like and like and betrayed his family. So like now these two girls are like fucking with him, and like there's a bit where like they tie him to a chair and like put these like stereo headsets on him, and they like turn the volume up to like the max volume. It's such a weird ass movie, dude.
That is weird.
It's so weird, and I didn't know that Eli Roth had like a part of there. Or, like this was a movie he directed, but it's such a it's a wild movie, man.
That does sound wild as shit. I'm gonna have to check that out.
Yeah, no, I don't know if it's good. It's on Prime Video. I don't know if it's good, but you know, it was something, I'll tell you.
Did you see that Gareth Edwards is the director for the new Jurassic World?
It's not confirmed, but he is being tapped to direct it. And our buddy David had like the best fucking response, where he tweeted out, damn, that meteor scene go crazy in Jurassic World. And he put the Death Star like destroying Jedha.
Oh my god.
And fucking,
oh my god.
I'm like, bro, that's amazing. I would really like Gareth Edwards to direct the new Jurassic World. And I do
cool.
Like,
a lot of people are like getting mad because they think that his movies are bad, and I was like, what do you mean? I was like, yeah, everybody loved Rogue One.
Fucking love Rogue One. The fuck are you talking about?
That was like the ones at the time of all the sequel hate. I mean, granted, there is still sequel hate, but like at the time that it was like really, really big, you know, when the movies were coming out, Rogue One was getting a lot of praise from people.
I keep thinking about that. Like, someone made a great Twitter post. Like, what's actually great when you don't have a little bitch in your ear going, oh, this is so bad.
Dude, I was just explaining this the other day to my buddy from TikTok. Because we swapped Snapchats like a month or so ago. So we've just been talking to each other there like every day. But like, I was just explaining this to him, where it was like, you know, this is both with the Bayverse movies and the sequels, is like the big point of growth for me when it comes to both of those like movies is that, like, you know, I watched them and I enjoyed them, you know, and then it was like I kept being told that I didn't enjoy them. And then finally I like just it got to a point where I was just like, you know what? I'm sick and tired of people telling me that I don't like these things when I did. You know, I got entertainment from them. And now I consider myself a legitimate Bayverse sympathizer.
I think about some things where it's like, I have always like been my own person. Where it's like, yeah, no, like, if I liked it, I like it. If I didn't like it, I like it. Like, I think back to like when I saw Last Jedi in theaters. Like, I had, that was such a great theater experience. And like, I kept thinking how amazing that was. But like, it only turned sour when like I interacted with like the rest of the fandom.
Yeah.
Like, that was when I realized, like, wow, I really liked that thing, but interacting with the shitty other people really made like it, enjoying like that thing, like, kind of like worse.
It's all about who you surround yourself with. Now I for you, it was like, you know, me and Adam, you know, and it was like, you know, we were constantly shitting on him at the time.
Oh, it was the entire group chat. That shit was annoying.
Yeah, I know. But like,
I was even upset you guys didn't like it. You guys were just saying shit that was just wrong. didn't happen. Or like, would like send articles of Ryan Johnson, and then like, I would be like, that's like what you guys said he said. That's not what he said in the article, guys. I completely
regret that shit. Because like I like them, I like those movies now, and I always did like those movies. But like the thing is like one thing that I've learned, and this is just solely from like just collecting Transformers and stuff like that, because I was very big on like, you know, G1 only, and you know the Beyverse movies are terrible and blah blah blah. And then I started like interacting with the community a lot more through like Transformers bot posting and stuff like that. That it's just like, you know, I started being around a bunch of people that were really enjoying this stuff, and then it got me to go back and rewatch it, and then I'm like, you know what, I do really like this shit, and I'm sick and tired of people telling me that I don't like it. And then same with you, and like me and you watched Star Wars together for that run through a couple years ago. You know, you were explaining a lot of stuff to me through the sequels that was just like, you know, this is all clicking. I'm digging this.
And even still, like, watching current content right now, so much of, like, The Mandalorian and The Bad Batch is now feeding into the sequels now.
Yeah.
Be it, like, Mandalorian with, like, trying to clone Grogu's blood for the Empire and shit like that.
Yeah.
The Canto Bite references, the Praetorian Guards showing up in Mando Season 3. Yep. Bad Batch, of course, they have Project Necromancer and Palpatine going like, this is important for the survival of the Empire. It's gotta get done. Like, you know,
Starkiller Base being brought up in Jedi Fallen Order, like pre-Starkiller
Base. That was so cool, because like if you go to Ilum, it's like regular, but if you like go up there after you beat the game, you see the trench being dug and you see them getting it all together.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, that's such a cool Easter egg. People are also theorizing now. Asajj Ventress is coming back in Bad Batch,
yep.
Season 3, right? I was talking to some friends about this on a Discord server. Asajj Ventress was last seen on Dathomir. You know who else? There were two, and thanks Jedi Fallen Order, we now know there were two other people on Dathomir.
Yep.
Who never left. And our friend Brooke has realized, wait a minute, around this time, Omega and Marin would be the same age. She's like, Rhea's like, oh, are we gonna get like baby Marin in Bad Batch Season 3?
That would be cool.
I want to see Taron Malakos, because I thought Taron Malakos was such a cool villain. And
he
was. Like,
oh my god, he was so cool.
The idea of Asajj Ventress fighting Taron Malakos seems so cool. Because remember, he enslaved the Knight Brothers. He like enslaved the Dathomirans,
yeah.
And like made and like took control of them. And like, I don't think Ventress just let that slide.
No, I don't think so at all.
Yeah, it's so good. I fucking love Star Wars, dude.
Star Wars.
Oh my god,
man.
And the Acolyte has a release date on June 6th. I cannot wait.
Oh, nice.
Oh,
nice.
My God. I'm so excited. High Republic, Dark Side Sith story. Oh, my God. I'm so excited for the Acolyte.
Yeah, that should be a good one.
Yeah. It's funny. I was also thinking about something else. When you like when you had said how much like media or like a show that really like helped you like define who you are and stuff like that, I was starting to think about like media that like really like did that for me as well. And I think like for me, I think like my version of like Boy Meets World, funny enough, is like one of those is like Always Sunny in Philadelphia, because yeah. Like I started watching that show when I first like left Philadelphia for a long period of time when I went to college over in like Pittsburgh and Moon, PA.
Yeah.
I got very homesick at one point. Like I was like very much like missing like Philly, and I never watched Always Sunny in Philadelphia. So I started like there was that, and I also was playing a lot of Gears of War, because like that like had reminded me of, like, you know, like spent like I think like you know playing Gears of War with you, and like I started like watching Always Sunny in Philadelphia and just kind of like connected me. It was funny, but also like it was like my weird like connection to home at that
yeah.
time as well. And
everybody,
like, and I think and I binged through it so much.
When you're born and raised in a city like Philly, you know, and this could be said about anybody born in a city. If you're born in a city and you go out to like an area like the country and stuff like that, it's it's a lot. It's a big change of pace, you know? Mm-hmm. I lived out at my dad's in Pottstown for 3 years, and that was like, you know, the streets were pitch black because there were no street lights, like, when it was dark. And, like, my one thing that kept me feeling like I was still at home was the fact that my dad lived right nearby a highway, so I was always hearing cars pass and stuff like that. And it was just like, had I not heard that, like, if I were to live out where my dad lives now, I couldn't do it. It's too fucking quiet.
<You know? laughs> Yeah, no, I need cities, man. But yeah, so like, I always think about like, man, like Always Sunny like really does like help. Like, that's why I also realized like, damn, like Philly is like a big part of like who I am. And like Always Sunny like really did like help me realize that. And why it stuck with me. It's why like when I hit that episode where Charlie was like carrying his dad up the fucking mountain, dude, I was sobbing like a baby, yeah. Dude. I was crying really hard, dude. Cause I'm like, there's something about like it in a way. I think Always Sunny has this like element to it where it's like, I know a lot of people like say they can't watch because like the characters are too mean, they're too fucked up. I think that there's this essence of Always Sunny where it's like, yes, the characters are all fucked up, but they're all fucked up together. They would rather be fucked up together as one than fucked up alone, because they, on some certain levels, do genuinely care about one another.
Oh,
and
yeah,
there's
definitely
something to that, like them being like, yeah, yes, they're a bunch of sociopathic, fucking crazy, evil people, but like at the heart, like, yeah, it's kind of Philly. Yeah. Like, we're fucked up, but we're fucked up together.
Exactly. That's the thing. And it's like, you know, it's amazing the kind of impact that TV shows and even movies can just really have on people. It's like, you know, like me with Boy Meets World and stuff like that, you know, that was like the time that, and it's weird because it all has to do with timing too. Like at the time that you watch it, you know, and stuff like that. Like at the time that I watched Boy Meets World, I was just getting out of high school and I didn't know what to do with my life. And then here there's an entire season dedicated to Will Friedle's character, Eric, getting out of high school, not getting accepted into college. I mean, I didn't apply to colleges, so my story's a little different there, but like, you know, you go through and you're just like, I'm watching this entire season of Eric trying to figure out what he wants to do with his life. And then he ends up going back to college, and it really like kind of whipped my ass into shape where I was like, I need to fucking do something. And then I got myself into the workforce, you know?
Nice.
But, like, and even so, like movies as well, like, you know, my favorite movie of all time is Across the Universe, because it was just like, you know, that was a movie that, like, it's a true comfort movie in the sense that like I could throw on that movie at any point, whether I'm happy, sad, mad, you know, just in any sort of mood, it just instantly picks me right back up, you know. It's a movie that takes me back to like being in high school, and like I remember when I saw that movie for the first time because Adam would recommend it to me, and then I finally watched it, and then it was just like, you know, I spent a good summer junior year where I had no senior year because I had my iPad. I had my iPad, like I just said, and I had the movie on my iPad. So like anytime I went somewhere, it was always watching Across the Universe in the car, or like, you know, I watched that movie like on repeat so many times that summer that it just got like, it's just such a good movie to me, you know.
I think one of my I'm just like thinking of like all this, like all the media that like did help like build me into like who I am as a person right now. And I had brought this to the friend earlier. There's this like very old book, I don't know if it's very old, but like there's this book I read in third grade that I remember like had a massive effect on me. I don't think I brought this up last episode, but it was called The Whipping Boy, and it was like this,
I think you might have. I don't know if you brought it up last episode, but if you did, it's all right.
It's all good. Like I probably talked about it last time, but like, yeah, no, it was like such like a, that was like one of my first books where I like learned about stuff like classism and like and like doing the right thing for the sake of others, but also like the relationship between like masculinity and boyhood, and how like masculinity is not that far from boyhood,
yeah,
in a lot of certain ways. And like that, and I remember like that book really did leave like a very big impression on me. And I also think like I'm trying to think, was there anything else that like really did like stick with me? I think just like I knew I wanted Like, I was a big dinosaur kid.
Yeah.
But I think, like, what I want, and, like, I would always say, like, I want to be a paleontologist when I grew up. That's because I fucking watched Jurassic Park and I heard the word paleontologist a bunch of times.
I was, like, the only kid in kindergarten who knew what a paleontologist was.
Same, because I watched Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
But then I, like, as I, like, got older, I realized, like, no, it's not like I want to, like, research and do dinosaurs. I want to do stories. Like, I knew, like, that was my thing where it's, like, I want to write, make, and tell stories because, like, that's, like, what I'm passionate about. That's when I realized, like, that's what I'm passionate about. Like, I want to tell stories. I want to, like, I want to fucking make people feel with just words. I want to make people see worlds. I want to make people see epic battles or, like, feel like a lover's sting with just words. And that's why, like, that's why I really got into, like, DMing as well, because I love doing that. But, like, I love storytelling and I love being a storyteller. I think that was also, like, I'm trying to, like, what other, like, media, like, to confirm that for me. That's probably why I got into superheroes as well. I think like that was a big thing, like a lot of, like, Marvel stuff and superhero stuff, like just, like, all these, like, fantastical things, like all these, like, I also like reading books in general, like, you know, like, holy shit, like, like, reading all these books, I'm like, holy shit, like, I am seeing entire worlds and experiencing all these emotions from, like, you know, literal words on a page. Like, you know, like, it's like, that shit's just, like, there's something, like, very powerful to me, you know, in that type of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I can, I mean, not stories and stuff like that, but a lot of it can be said the same to me. Like, cartoons were a big part of my life growing up, and they still are a big part of my life because I watch cartoons practically every day. But, like, cartoons had such an impact on my life. You know, I've always been the type of person that, like, you know, when I was younger, I was always doing voices and impressions and stuff like that, you know, that I tried to pull off and stuff like that. It helped me realize that, you know, all I ever want to do in my life is entertain, you know, and you know me, like, all of our friends can attest to that. I'm always the guy that's trying to entertain everybody, make everybody laugh, you know. That's my thing, and that's why I do TikTok on the side, and why this podcast even came into fruition is just because I like to make people laugh and I like to entertain. That's just who I am as a person. It's not like, you know, I'm not trying to make money off of this podcast or my TikTok or anything like that. I'm just putting it out there because I'm having fun doing it and people seem to like it. So
yeah, that's one thing. Like, one of our players in our D&D, like, V, like, texted me that, like, she was in, like, a very foul mood before our session, but, like, that a moment of, like, in the session, like, completely woke her up and completely made that foul mood go away. And that means the world to me. Like, another one of the players, Chris, like, had said, like, when I was telling him, like, about my, like, ideas and stuff like that, and, like, stuff for the story I had that I was pitching to him for his character, and he had told me that, like, he loved how my mind works. That shit fucking, like, knocked me out.
Yeah.
I was, like, fucking floored after that. I'm like, oh my god. Like, it's like, it's also, like, it's very scary as well to, like, do stuff like we do and, like, to put it out there, to put yourself out there in such a vulnerable way. But, like, you know, like, it's still cool to know that, like, all right, like, someone probably, like, looked at that video I made and smiled. Someone looked at this idea I had and it made someone's, like, life for, like, even, like, the briefest second, like, better, you know?
Yeah. I get a lot of comments from people. I, like, some of my favorite comments that I've ever gotten on, like, my TikTok and stuff like that. Like, I you know, I don't really think too highly of my own, like, reviews of my figures and stuff like that. But I get people that, like, there's a person in Australia who thinks I'm, like, the best reviewer there is out there. And I'm like, there's people way better than me, man. But, like, thank you. Like, you know, I say that, but, like, it genuinely means a lot to me that they think this, you know. And then it's just like, his content is that, you know, he does edits of Transformers media and stuff like that on CapCut. I threw up a couple edits a couple months ago, just like War for Cybertron intro with Hearts on Fire from Rocky as a joke, right? And then I genuinely get a comment from this guy. He's like, dude, your edits are better than mine. I'm like, are you kidding? I was like, I just put a song over a clip. Like, you actually put work into your edits, you know? Like, stuff like that just makes me so happy.
I had someone tell me, like, oh, like, you're my favorite Kylo Ren cosplayer. I'm like, fuck me? Like, really? I'm your favorite. Someone told me that. And I was like, dude, like, there are people out there who, like, actually look like Adam Driver. Like,
yeah.
You know? I'm like, oh, me? But yeah,
it's just it's awesome when you get a comment like that from somebody. Like I had somebody on one of my live streams, because I've been doing a lot more live streams lately, told me to open up a PO box so that they could send me mail. I'm like, what? You want to send me mail?
God, that's crazy.
Yeah. Like I was genuinely contemplating opening a PO box because a third party model kit company was contacting me about sending me some Transformers models. I ended up not doing it, but what you call it? I was definitely thinking that, and then like a couple weeks later I do a live stream and somebody's like, you should open up a PO box, I would send you stuff. And I'm like, really? Yeah, it's just awesome, man. I love entertaining.
Same, and I love telling stories. I think that's probably a very wholesome place to end it.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
Did you know in the 1940s comedians used to like take off their one, like to start off their act, they would take off their shoe and throw it up in the air and go, oh, where's my shoe? And you know,
I think I've heard something about that. I think I've actually heard about that before.
I totally just made that up. That's what.
Oh wait, why have I? No, I legit know there's something about that. I've heard that something similar to that before.
I just came up with that on the spot. I have no idea if that's actually true.
Man, fuck you. End the episode.